Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another Psalms devotional time. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and we are continuing our devotional studies in the book of 1 John. If you've missed any of these devotional studies, you want to go back and get them, they're always available on Facebook. You can go onto the Forest Hill Presbyterian Church Facebook page and look under videos and you'll see them all there. They're also available in both audio and video format on Sermon Audio. You can go to sermonaudio.com/ForestHillPCA and find them all there. And finally, they're all available as well on our YouTube channel. So those are always there, as well as all the Psalms devotionals we've done and everything. It's one of the great things about doing this live stream on the internet is that this becomes a resource that you can go back to. But if you feel like, oh, I've missed a few 1 John devotionals, I don't know where we are in the book, don't worry about that. Just join us, and you're always welcome, and God's Word is always rich and wonderful for us to enjoy together, and you can go back and catch the ones that you missed later. Well, let's pray, and then we'll dig into 1 John 2, verses 18 to 25 on this great Monday morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the beauty and truth and power of your word. Your word is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word gives life. The opening of your word gives life. It imparts wisdom to our souls. It strengthens us where we are weak. It corrects us where we are going astray. It helps us to see what we need to know and believe and trust, because it helps us see you. And you are the one we need to know and believe and trust. So, Father, would you show yourself to us through your word this morning? Would you reveal your heart to our hearts? And would you help us to believe you? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he has made to us, eternal life. Amen. It's a great passage, but I acknowledge to you that there's much in here that on a first read is very confusing. What does he mean that it's the last hour? What does he mean that Antichrist is coming and many Antichrists have come? What does he mean that we have been anointed by the Holy One and we have knowledge? Who are these people who went out from us but were not of us? Wow, this is there's a lot to take in here. But as we break this down and walk through it together, we will see much important, relevant, powerful truth, because this is written for us living in such a time as we are living in. So let's begin. We're just going to walk through these sort of two verses at a time and take a closer look. Children, it is the last hour. Now, I grew up, you know, in sort of spiritual circles where people would say, do you think we're living in the end times? I think we're living in the end times. Oh, it sure feels like the end times to me. And this question about end times, right? And what was normally meant by that was, we think that fairly soon, almost any time now, the rapture is going to happen and the church will be removed out of this world, and then the Antichrist will come and he will deceive the nations and, you know, become this great tribulation, a 7-year period of time, and all this stuff that We're not going to go into now. We'll save that for our Revelation study, which is coming down the road a little bit. But what's clear when you read Scripture is that beginning with Christ's resurrection, ascension, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the last hour, the end times, the end of the age began. So we've been living in the last hour for almost 2,000 years. It has been the end times since the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. It's been the end of the age. And that's because when Jesus rose again from the dead, he became the first fruits of the new creation, the firstborn from the dead. He inaugurated the new heavens and the new earth in his own resurrected body. And when he poured out his Holy Spirit, he fulfilled the prophecy that said, "In the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." And so we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the resurrected and ascended Jesus, and it is the last hour. So yes, we can confidently say we are living in the last hour. Now, that doesn't mean we know when Jesus is coming again. Jesus said, no one knows the day or the hour or the times of this, you know, when he's coming again. Antichrist, always connected to this idea of the end times, for me when I was younger, was this idea that Antichrist is going to come. And who was Antichrist? Well, here's an interesting fact. John's the only one who actually uses the term Antichrist. And when John uses the term Antichrist, he does not use it to describe a powerful world ruler who deceives the nations and leads them into some false religion and causes them to persecute the people of God. That is not at all how John uses the word Antichrist, and he's the only one who uses the word. So that's an inaccurate use of that word. There are other terms like the man of perdition from 2 Thessalonians or the beast, the false prophet. Again, we'll get to that when we get to Revelation. But here's the point. For John, who is Antichrist? Well, there are many Antichrists. Just as in the last times Antichrist was to come, John's telling us it is the last hour and many Antichrists have come. And that's how we know it is the last hour. Well, who is he talking about when he's talking about these Antichrists? Many Antichrists. Well, he tells us. So often if you don't understand something in the Bible, this is a basic rule of thumb. If you come across something that's unclear in the Bible and you don't really understand, most of the time, just keep reading. Read the next verse, right? And the verse after that. In this case, verse 19 tells us who these many antichrists were. It's they. They went out from us. They have to be the antichrists, because otherwise the they is completely undefined. So these are the many antichrists. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. Now, this verse is sometimes used as a proof text for the perseverance of the saints or the preservation of the saints. That if you truly belong to Christ, if you are a child of God, you will be kept in the faith and you will continue in the faith. And that is certainly true. That is what John is saying. John is saying that if you depart from the faith, if you apostatize, if you go off into unbelief, then you never really were of us. You never really were in Christ. You may have made a profession of faith. You may have identified yourself with Christian people. You may have been a successful Christian singer or celebrity or whatever, because aren't we seeing this? There's very little in the Bible that's more relevant right now than verses 18 and 19 of 1 John 2, because we are seeing a wave of professing Christians, even prominent Christian leaders, even Christian worship leaders and worship songwriters who are leaving the Christian faith. Sometimes it feels like it's just an overwhelming number, but it's not that many, but it is a number of them. But you know what? That's not new. Even in John's day, even in the days of the apostles, there were those who went out from us and who did not continue with us. And they went out that it may become plain that they are not of us. And these are antichrists. Now, that may seem like a harsh thing to say, but I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I have to tell you what the Bible says, right? So these are antichrists. They are against Christ and his kingdom, and they do great harm to Christ's kingdom and to Christ's people because they abandon their profession of faith in Christ and they start spreading lies about Christ. And these are the antichrists that are in the world in the last hour, which is an hour of deception and an hour of falling away. But you, it's always wonderful when you're in something dark in Scripture to hear the but, right? R.C. Sproul said that but was the most important word in the Bible because it's that hinge that turns things from darkness to light. But you have been anointed by the Holy One. That means we've received the Holy Spirit, which means that these had never received the Holy Spirit. Now, that may be hard to believe. You think, well, they preached sermons that were powerful. They wrote books. They recorded songs. They impacted many people's lives. Yes, you can do a good imitation. Satan is masquerades as an angel of light. You can copy, you can imitate, you can go along with, you can even be intellectually convinced and emotionally driven to identify with and to agree mentally with and to profess, but there's not a Holy Spirit anointing to anyone but true believers, all believers. See that? John's writing to this group of believers, and he's saying, you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. Everyone who is truly born again and is a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, everyone who has true and saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, has been anointed by the Holy Spirit and knows God. Knows God. I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. That's a great comfort to us. We might think, well, they fell away. Am I going to fall away? Well, a lot of people are walking away. Am I going to walk away? Well, not if you've been anointed by the Holy One. Not if you have knowledge. Not if you know the truth. You know the truth. You just need to realize that these people never really knew the truth, and they're living a lie. And that's sad. It is sad, and we can grieve for them, but you are in the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist. He who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. So in John's day, one of the big things that was happening is that professing Christians, when they came under sort of intense, heated persecution, being socially ostracized, outcasts, being, you know, deprived of jobs or social standing or a place in the community, and sometimes even put into prison, and, you know, John himself would be sent into exile on the island of Patmos. Whenever that happened, they would be tempted to shrink back from that aspect of their faith that was causing them problems in the world. Does that sound familiar at all? When the world doesn't like believers, many believers will be tempted to shrink back from that aspect of our faith that makes us not liked by the world. That's nothing new. Again, it's 2,000 years people are doing the same thing. Oh, the world doesn't like this. The world's going to call me names because of this. The world's going to attack me because of this. I will shrink back and I will not say that anymore. In this case, they wanted to just sort of say, yeah, I believe in God. And Jesus, well, you know, I'm not really sure about. But John is saying you don't really know God if you deny that Jesus is the Christ. If you deny the Son of God, you don't have the Father either. But if you confess the Son of God, you have the Father also. And finally, the application for us, the application for John's hearers. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you. What does that mean? What did you hear from the beginning? The gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he came to do, why he came, and what difference that makes in your lives. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ, his incarnation, his sinless life, his death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, his ascension to the right hand of God the Father, his intercession for his own, the gift of salvation by faith alone, in him alone. Let what you heard from the beginning, the gospel, abide in you. We never outgrow our need for the gospel. It's not like gospel is how we get in the door of being a Christian, and then we need to leave that behind and move on to some kind of higher knowledge. Okay? There's not a second anointing, and there's not a higher knowledge. Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and what we need to abide in, what we need to remain in, is what we've heard from the beginning in the gospel. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, and you too will abide in the Son and in the Father, and this is the promise that he made to us, eternal life. That's what it's all about. God sent his Son, who gave his life, to give us eternal life. And we just need to hold on and keep believing, abide in what we've heard from the beginning, and let it abide in us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we live in confusing times, in a confused world. There are many people who are denying Christ or denying aspects of our Christian faith that are socially unacceptable to our cultural age. And we need to know that this is not new, Father. This has always been a temptation, but that you have always preserved your own. Father, if we belong to you through true and saving faith in Jesus Christ, we are safe. We are secure in you. And what we need to do is to continue to believe the gospel and continue to allow the gospel to dwell deeply in our hearts by faith. Father, you are so good. Your love endures forever. We love you because you first loved us. Give us the strength to persevere. Give us the grace to keep in our hearts as a treasure the word of life, the promise of eternal life that you gave us from the beginning. We pray this, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, we're going to continue in 1 John, Lord willing, on Wednesday morning at 8:30. I hope you can be with us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.